Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Resolutions here that I want to share with you. These are first, we're going to start with New Year's resolutions that you have no chance of keeping, okay? That's the kind we normally make, isn't it? You don't have a chance of keeping. When I hear a funny joke, I will not reply LOL on your phone. Lose 20 pounds by going to the gym. I will spend less than 5 hours a day on the internet. No, he's laughing. I will stop repeating myself again and again and again. I will think of a password other than password. You know, I heard a thing, a technical thing, and it's amazing the number of people that use that for a password. But anyway. So here's some resolutions that you can actually keep. Stop exercising, it's a waste of time. Procrastinate more. I will no longer waste my time reliving the past. Instead, I'll worry about the future. Spend more time at work. And stop bringing lunch from home. I should eat out more. That went over poorly. Well, I want to tell you about, or speak to you about a battle or a war this morning that you can win, If you'd open up to Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. And we'll begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, each and every one of us. And I pray that you would speak to us from your word today. Help me to explain things clearly and concisely. And we just pray your blessing upon it. We pray for Pastor that you'd help him to feel better. And for Brenda this morning also, Lord, that you give wisdom to the medical staff there and that she would receive proper treatment. And we do pray for Mike, you calm his heart during this and that things would go well. And now as we look to your word, we pray that you would teach every one of us from it this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The key to living a victorious Christian life is to control your mind or heart. The word mind and heart is often interchangeable in Scripture because we know that the heart is a physical organ that unfortunately Brenda has some problems with right now, and hopefully that will go well as we've prayed already today. But so keep that in perspective. When I say heart, I might mean mind or vice versa, but it means it really the same thing. Well, the following is a progression that is proven in Scripture. Our thoughts turn into words, turn into actions that develop character and a lifestyle. Our thoughts become words, become actions, develops character and a lifestyle. So, what about man's heart? Well, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And if you stop, we often concentrate on the first part of that verse, but the last phrase, "Who can know it?" That indicates to me that we don't even know our own heart. And wicked words come from a wicked heart. We see that over in Matthew. You don't need to turn there. But Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." So, you know, this was when Jesus was confronted about his disciples not washing before they eat. And he was explaining that it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out that defiles a man. And where does it come from? It comes from the heart. And we continue on there reading, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." So that was the final rebuke there for the Pharisees that had confronted him about that. Well, where does the evil character come from? It has its sources in an evil heart. Over in Proverbs 23:6 says, "Eat thou not of the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desirest thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So it says there that what you have developed there is an evil heart, and that's where the source of this wickedness comes. And then and some people can get such a wicked lifestyle and that it just is terrible to be around. And, you know, God did something about the earth early on in the Bible when he was upset with the wickedness of mankind. In Genesis 6, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And we know what happened after that. Of course, the rain came, and Noah had constructed the ark, and that's what... But God wiped everything out. Man was so wicked, and he was upset with the fact that he'd even made man, that he just wiped him out totally. So that's the bad news. Let's look at the good news. And that's what we're at in Daniel. Daniel is a godly example. If you stop and think about different characters in the Bible, there's many of them that are godly examples, but Daniel is an excellent, excellent example. And so if we begin reading at verse 3 in chapter 1, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." I was reading this morning and going over things, and that dawned on me, 3 years, they were going to brainwash these kids. That's what it was. Indoctrinated them in the way of the Chaldeans, not just the language, but everything else. Verse 6, "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." So you get the picture here. The king tells the one in charge of the servants, go out and get these kids and pick only the best ones and the smartest and things like that, and then bring them in, and we're going to feed them from my table for a period of 3 years. But in verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This food had been offered to idols and such, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. See, God works ahead of the situation. So, you know, they've been in captivity for some time, I'm not sure how long. But God was already working in developing a relationship between Daniel and the head of the eunuchs. And, you know, I'm sure that that was, and this is speculation on my part, but it was because of Daniel's godly character. Verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs saith unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. The guy says, you're putting my life in danger here by asking me to do this. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. In other words, I'm not asking you to put your life in danger for a long period of time here. Just give us 10 days and we'll eat the pulse and drink the water and see if we don't look healthier than the ones that are eating the best food off the king's table and drinking the king's wine. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. But what did we start out reading there originally? Four words. Daniel purposed 5 words in his heart. Who says I'm an accountant? Daniel purposed in his heart. How important is that, purposing something in one's heart? If you decide to do something, you set your heart to do it. You purpose to do it. You focus on it. My wife accused me this morning of having tunnel vision because I get so focused on something and I don't consider other things. That's the way, and that's a fault I have. I should be considering other things. But you have to go with such a purpose to accomplish what you're trying to do. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not defile himself. So we're talking about the battle for the mind or the heart, the wicked versus the good. And we're looking at Daniel here as the example. Well, he purposed in his heart, we'd already said that, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, and we read that, and he asked, just give us a shot here, let us try this for 10 days. And what happened at the end of 10 days? He looked pretty good, didn't he? He and the other boys, or young men, I guess. And so the Melzar, the head of the pastor, the head of the eunuchs and the guys that he was in charge, said that he'd give them the pulse and the water, so that's fine. But, his character here is developed as a result of his actions. So we'll continue on reading in verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In other words, they were the cream of the crop. After this 3-year period of time, they were judged to be the best. They were the best. When you purpose to do something in your heart, and it's God's will, of course, God will bless it. God will bless it. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. These young Hebrews were so blessed for taking a stand for God and purposing in their heart not to defile themselves that they were judged by Nebuchadnezzar to be 10 times better than the astrologers and the magicians in the land. Well, we know why, because they had God's power and the astrologers and magicians were using other types of power. That's why. And then verse 21, and Daniel continued even in the first year of King Cyrus. So, godly example, Daniel. We saw that he purposed in his heart, and God blessed him. Well, you say, well, what about me? How do I control my mind? How do I control my heart? Well, it's controlled by what you allow in your mind. It's, remember, most of us, or some of us, I forgot I wasn't talking to just my Sunday school. Some of us in here are old enough to remember when the computers came on the scene. And there was a saying about computers, GIGO, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. This is what it was early. Yeah, and those of us that have gray hair are shaking their heads like this. The young ones don't have a clue what GIGO was. But so it depends on what we put in. If we put garbage in our mind, we're going to get garbage out. If we put garbage in our heart, we're going to get garbage out. Do you want to go about spewing garbage on other people? I don't think so. I don't think so. Aren't we, as Christians, we've been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus. And we are supposed to tell others about him. And then, as a result of that, if we can control our heart and our mind, then we can be used by God as a clean vessel to spread the word and to be effective in our witness. But if we let garbage in, all of a sudden that vessel isn't so clean anymore. And God can't use us anymore. Oh, we've got our destiny assured. Our destiny changes, our eternal destiny changes at the moment of our salvation. There's no question about that. And there's nothing that we, you know, if you're really saved, then you're going to be saved forever. There's eternal security, and you have that to rely on. But you may not live a pleasing life on this earth. And, my desire is to try and please God. And that's probably the desire of every person in here. And that's what you need to do, is you need to purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. What is the desire of your heart, I ask you? What's the desire of your heart? Well, over in Psalm chapter 10, in verse 4, we can see this. The wicked through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So are you attempting to live just a part-time life for God? Maybe come in here on Sundays and that's it, and the rest of the day you're going to, excuse me, the rest of the week you're going to live the way that you want to live? Or are you going to live the way that God wants you to live? Well, we see a contrast here between that type of heart and one in Psalm 51 in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Are we going to mess up? Sure we are. But we should have the desire for God always to create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit. Renew a right spirit. Well, how does God create a clean heart? Well, number one, forgiveness of sins. And the big deal, so to speak, not to say that irreverently, is at the moment of salvation. When we ask Christ to be our Savior and we accept the finished work that he did on the cross, then all our sins are forgiven. How long does it take us to put sin back in our life? Probably less than a day. Probably less than a day if we're honest about it. Because that is the old nature that comes into play. But we should have a desire to create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Well, how does God take care of us after we're saved? Well, 1 John 1:9 is a very familiar verse, and we should always cling to this because we will sin. When I've had the pleasure of dealing with someone that just got saved, I show them some verses on eternal security, but then I tell them it's not going to be a smooth highway that you're driving down. It's going to have bumps in it. And when you do slip up in sin, you have to ask forgiveness right away. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But it doesn't stop there, does it, that verse? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that is something that there is a resource for us as Christians, as we go through this life here on earth and we do sin, but it's something that we can grab onto and ask for forgiveness immediately. And what? He's faithful and just to forgive us, and not only just forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And one other thing, when I have had the honors of dealing with someone that just was recently saved, I said, this doesn't mean that you're going to now be sinless, but you should live with less sin than you had before. You can't be sinless until we get to heaven. But we should strive to live with less sin in our life each day. So how does he clean the heart? With forgiveness of sin. And the second step is with his word. In Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 11. 119 verses 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. See, that heart thing comes into play there again. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11 is a very familiar verse, of course. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So God creates a clean heart in us, and he gives us his word to constantly to go to seek that forgiveness and cleansing. And then over in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. So as we read the word, it becomes a discerner of what the thoughts and intents of our heart are. It can, through his word, he can kind of head us in the right direction to prevent us from getting into something we shouldn't be into. And so it's a process that we go through. Well, now we're kind of in stages here. We've got a clean heart and we know how to protect it. But how do we maintain a clean heart? Well, with godly desires. With godly desires. If you have desires to, well, I'll tell you about that. But 37:4, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I had a chance to fill in for Pastor on a Sunday evening years ago. And I said that I didn't have a desire for a Corvette and that I didn't think it was in God's will anyway. And then later that week, on a day I came home from work, there was a Corvette in my driveway. It was unreal. I mean, it was only about 9 inches long, but it was metal, you know. That's just an aside, I guess. But what is it that you desire in your heart? Do you desire godly things? Things that God will give you because they are godly desires? Or do you desire things that would tend to remove you from God's will and maybe enter you into a lifestyle that will lead you further away from God? We should have godly desires in our heart, godly desires. And then we should have pure thoughts, pure thoughts. Philippians 4:8, and this is a great verse. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God created us with finite minds, and if we're thinking about godly things, if we're taking in godly things, then we're going to desire godly things, and he's going to be able to bless us. But it's when we get sidetracked, and we're bombarded all the time in this world by ads for this and that and things that aren't godly. And if we pursue some of those, then we're getting off the track. So a challenge here, and I'll close with this. And everybody, if you could open to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. As soon as I get there, I'll read it. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I'll read this and then talk a little bit about it. 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can you pray that today? Are you willing to make that commitment to live a godly life, to have a clean heart? We'll see. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this message.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.